From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I think it is safe to say that there is one word that can probably be used to describe the tone of conversation amongst Georgia fans here this weekend. It was tense. Tense coming off the Saturday scrimmage from UGA when we find out that Zamir White tore his ACL. We'll hear from Kirby Smart on this in a moment to kind of, you know, break down exactly what happened during the scrimmage that led to the White injury. It's the kind of stuff that you hate to hear. I get the disappointment and frustration. I think sometimes that fans, maybe me included, we don't allow ourselves to really feel that way. We want to get mad. We want to blame. We want to argue, as opposed to just admitting the truth of, hey, I'd heard some great things about Zamir White. You know, Jeff Sintel had some sources tell him that, listen, Zamir White is a special, special player. I was giddy about seeing White on the field this season. Now I'm not going to. As a fan, I'm just really dadgum disappointed about that. I mean, that's the sort of bottom line of all of this. And then when you start sort of adding in the facts of kind of what went down, and then you have people sort of divide up into different factions here and sort of bicker back and forth with each other. We're going to try to do our part to kind of calm some of that down on today's program and see if we can end the show by the time we're done today with sort of maybe a hopeful tone about where Georgia goes from here. It remains to be seen where Zamir White goes from here. It'll take us longer to figure that out, but we'll try to do all our part when it comes to all of this. Let me start with Kirby Smart. In the press conference on Saturday, he's asked about, hey, rumors on the internet, rumors on Twitter, message board stuff about Zamir White suffering an injury out there. Here is what Kirby Smart told us about the way in which the Zamir White injury goes down. Here's the UGA coach.
He was covering a punt, and it was a non-contact injury. There was nobody really around. He and Martin Webb were kind of holding each other up, but don't know anything yet. He's getting an MRI done right now. So it's a left knee. It's his non-surgical knee, but can't tell you much more than that.
So listen, I've obviously got no medical training whatsoever, but I think we're all kind of the same on this as people who've been sports fans for a long time. When a guy suffers what's called a non-contact injury, generally speaking, that's thought to not be very good because that's the kind of thing that, you know, ends up leading to some sort of structural damage. In the case of Zamir White, I guess that is indeed the part. And listen, here on this show, we just wish White well, man. We hope he's back. You know, he had been so heroic in the way that he overcame the injury he suffered on the other knee during his high school season, and we know that he's just going to be a tiger in the way that he fights back from this one as well. So maybe first and foremost, before we get to anything else, we just send out well wishes to White and his family and his high school, you know, coaches and teammates there in Laurinburg, North Carolina. We know that Zamir White's going to be a great football player eventually for the University of Georgia. It just looks like we're going to have to wait a little longer to see that. I'm devastated about that. I'm so disappointed. But first and foremost, before anything else, just so sorry for the friends and family of Zamir White. Can't wait to see him back playing football again. Now, the football debate here, and this is not just media versus Kirby Smart on this. This is fans versus fans. You saw a lot of this, including at the forum at forum.dognation.com this weekend, of should Zamir White have been playing special teams? Is that something that he should have been doing? Now, you'll hear Kirby Smart blowing up about that question in a moment, but let me have my turn on this before we get to Kirby here. I have zero problem with Zamir White being a part of Georgia's punt coverage. Zero problem whatsoever. Even knowing what I know now, I wouldn't change a single thing about this. And I think this is true for a really specific, simple reason. If you want to go back and look at Georgia in 2016, an underwhelming team, 8-5, I think the record was there that season. There's a guy named Bill Conley who does a lot of fancy stat work, you know, advanced analytics stuff for footballstudyhall.com, and he has a metric called special teams efficiency. Now, I have zero idea about how he tabulates these numbers. The truth is, I wasn't very good at math growing up. But I do know this. In 2016, according to Bill Conley, Georgia was 97th in the country according to special teams efficiency. Once again, I don't know how you get to that number, but I just know 97th is not good. And somehow, some way, that special teams efficiency determines your average starting field position, where you get the ball, where your opponent gets the ball. 97th is just not good, even if we can't do the math for how Georgia got there. But how about this in 2017? Georgia went from 97th in 2016 to third in the country in 2017. Now, part of that improvement is obviously based on a better year from Rodrigo Blankenship. That's part of that. But you also don't get the rest of that third best in the country in terms of special teams last year without the contribution you got from guys like Sony Michel, without Lorenzo Carter's block field goal in the national championship game. You can't have great special teams without great guys on special teams. Zamir White, if healthy, would have been one of those guys for 2018. I've got no problem with Kirby Smart making that decision. Not every fan agreed, though. There was a lot of stuff about about this on social media over the weekend, message boards over the weekend. Kirby Smart, who's typically treated like a guy who can do no wrong by Georgia fans, did get some criticism on this, and maybe sensing some of that criticism, White kind of has a Smart kind of has a bit of a blow up with a reporter who asked about the role that Zamir White was filling on special teams. Many of you probably heard this, but here's an example of it getting pretty testy on Saturday with a reporter asking Kirby Smart about Zamir White being on special teams, which led to the torn ACL. Take a listen.
Is it unusual for him to be on punt coverage?
You guys are amazing. Sonny Michel was first-round pick last year.
I know.
All right, he covered punt. All right. Derrick Henry covered every punt in Alabama. I mean, why would you ask that? Is it unusual for him to be on punt? DeAndre Swift's a starter on punt. So is that unusual for our running backs to play? I mean, I'm sick for the kids. I don't know the severity of the injury. It's really not fair that all you guys run out there and throw stuff out there and we don't get a chance to talk to his parents. We've talked about that in here before. If you ask me about it after practice, that's fair. Not fair for that kid to find a kid's mom to find out about it from somebody talking and texting about it from in here.
So a couple things for me on this from Kirby Smart. First of all, I think the reporter's question was different than the way that Kirby Smart sort of heard it. I don't think he was asking, is it right to have running backs on special teams? Everybody knows that Sonny Michel was a big part of that a year ago, this reporter included. I think what the reporter meant here was, had Zamir White been working on special teams the entire time this summer? Now, I can't put myself in the head of the reporter. I haven't asked him about this personally. But that's my assumption here on this, and I just think that Kirby Smart, maybe feeling a little tension about the moment himself, sort of took that in a different direction. But the overall, you know, sort of point on all of this is, when you have big, powerful people giving press conferences and a room full of reporters, and by the way, a Georgia press conference has become a very full room. You know, years ago, it was like three or four people asking questions. Now, these things are packed to the gills with a bunch of people who want to cover a big-time program like Georgia. Sort of awkward, tense moments are going to happen, and that's okay. I mean, it's you see this in politics, you see this in sports, you see this in, like, you know, local civic politics. I mean, every now and then, reporters ask questions to principals. You know, some stuff is going to kind of be a little tense and going to kind of be a little, a little impolite maybe. And it's not a big deal. I mean, this is the kind of thing that sort of travels well on social media and becomes very viral. But ultimately, for me, on both sides of this, it's sort of a no harm, no foul type of thing here. But it did kind of continue a bit. Kirby Smart kind of going a little deeper on the subject of being even asked about the notion of Zamir White on special teams. Here's a little more of Kirby kind of blowing up about that point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely there was people, and I'm sure they said something about it. That's not a problem. The only problem is if it comes from in here, or if the question is that normal for him to be on punt? I mean, is that a fair question? Is it a fair question? I'm asking y'all. Probably not a fair question.
Well,
if you watch football, if you watch football, it's probably not a fair question.
So he says if you watch football, it's a fair it's not a fair question, but I can promise you this. There were plenty of Georgia fans, like I said, on message boards this weekend who were asking that question of should Zamir White have been on special teams? And I made the point earlier that I think he absolutely should have been. Let me make another point here. I think that the way that Georgia practices is absolutely a big part of the foundation of why it's been successful on the field. I, as a fan, and y'all know I do this show from the perspective of a fan every single day, I want Georgia to practice the way that it plays. At full speed, best on best, full contact. I mean, go talk to some of these guys who either cover NFL teams or former NFL players like our buddy Mike Johnson. Let them tell you about the current state of NFL practices. They're a mess because the Players Association negotiated softer practices, and now teams can't get ready to play because they're not allowed to practice hard anymore. I mean, anybody who's close to the NFL will tell you that league's become a mess in terms of the restrictions on how you can practice. College football doesn't have that. Georgia chooses to practice hard. And I don't think Georgia makes the college football playoff a year ago if it doesn't practice as hard as it did. Now, there is an obvious negative byproduct of that. Sometimes guys like Zamir White are going to get hurt. And I don't have anything but just sadness and as a fan, great disappointment for White's injury here. But to a certain degree in football, injuries are going to be unavoidable, which brings it back to a topic we talk about all the time here on this program, and that's recruiting. There is a reason why you stockpile elite players at every position. And one of the things that Georgia fell short of prior to Kirby Smart becoming head coach here is not having enough elite players at each position. There may have been, you know, one five-star guy here and one five-star guy there, but if that guy got hurt, it was very difficult to replace that player. Georgia's done a pretty good job of building a different kind of program here. It's obviously for fans really disappointing not to have Zamir White healthy and playing here in 2018. The great news is, and I know our buddy Connor Riley wrote about this a bit at Good Day UGA to DogNation.com here today, this shouldn't be devastating for Georgia. There are other good running backs, and there's a plan in place to sort of withstand an injury like this. It's what separates the best teams from the rest of the pack, the ability to create enough depth to overcome the occasional injury. I wish I could wave a magic wand and say there are no more injuries in football, especially the players that we all love and want to see. That's obviously not possible. What is possible, though, is to keep practicing hard, keep putting enough good players in the field against each other in competitive situations to pay off during the season, and even with the occasional injury, I'm glad that's what Georgia chooses to do. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza. We're glad you're with us, watching us live on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, Dog Nation YouTube page, Dog Nation Twitter feed, on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And yeah, I know the sun's not shining quite as bright today in the Classic City, but we still love being on 960 The Ref and in podcast form wherever podcasts can be found. The world-famous DogNation.com, Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcast Player, for the Android devices. We're just really glad you have found a Dog Nation Daily here. And, you know, you're starting the week off, you're thinking about what you're going to do for dinner tonight. Maybe take a break from cooking, because who wants to cook when you can have Marco's Pizza? How about two medium, two-topping pizzas right now for just $6.99 each? It's not just any pizza. It's authentic Italian-quality pizza with the Gianmarco family sauce, the three cheeses blended together on that delicious crust. It's every store, every day, the Italian way. Go to Marcos.com. You can find the Marcos nearest you, and you can take advantage of that great offer. In a couple of minutes later on in the program, we'll hear from Chip Towers. We'll kind of get the reaction from Chip about being in the room with Kirby Smart here this weekend. We'll also find out from Chip where he thinks Georgia goes from here after the Zamir White injury. I'm also later on the show going to tell you, and I hope you'll stick around for this today. Later on in today's show, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what's coming up on Thursday with our Dog Nation season kickoff. I know we're not in a mood for a party necessarily today, but this is going to be a great party come Thursday. They're at the brand new Kroger Marketplace in Cumming. I was there on Friday. This is going to be a great, great atmosphere. We'll talk about that more a little bit later on, and we'll do that with you then. All right, before that, though, let me try to see if I can pivot this back towards some good news. I know many of you watch a lot of high school football here this weekend. I watched a lot of that myself. I just love this time of year when you can get a chance to see these future Georgia Bulldogs out there doing big things. And I wanted to honor one of these guys in particular here this week. You know, last week we started our R.S. Andrews Cool Under Pressure moment of the week. And obviously when you're a Georgia recruit and, you know, you got the five-star status attached to your name, you're playing a game on television, there is that ability to, you know, maybe feel a little bit of pressure to kind of go out there and kind of show what you're all about. Let people know that the hype that you've garnered is worth the attention, that you are worth that five-star status. And I thought that future Georgia wide receiver Dominic Blaylock did that and more for his Walton Raiders over the weekend. He was a part of the Corky Kell Classic. It was a game on television. Many of you saw this as Blaylock comes up with three touchdowns as the Raiders knock off Mill Creek. 48-27 was the final score there, and it was great to see such a big performance from Dominic Blaylock. And, yes, I know there was some controversy here. Maybe the second touchdown for Blaylock in the game. Maybe had there been replay at the high school level in the state of Georgia, maybe that touchdown doesn't stand for Blaylock. But nonetheless, he showed what he's all about, a big-time future player for the Georgia Bulldogs. And while a guy like Jaden Hazelwood gets a lot of the attention, Dominic Blaylock showed on the weekend why he is also very much a prospect worth talking about for the 2019 class for the Georgia Bulldogs. So much so that he's our R.S. Andrews Cool Under Pressure Performer of the Week. And speaking of R.S. Andrews, they invite you to keep cool here no matter how hot it gets, both in the late summer. I find sometimes early fall just as hot as anything in the state of Georgia. Well, R.S. Andrews is going to do that because they're the keep cool no matter what guys. They've got clean screen, train, and timely text, and they specialize in giving old systems, especially yours, new life. You call, they come, you're cool. It's just as simple as that, period. And if your old system has sort of cooled its last, R.S. Andrews can also keep you covered with replacement AC systems, a custom designed to last for you with available financing. Keep your cool. Call the Once Dog Nation's Trust. It's R.S. Andrews online at rsandrews.com. Really appreciate R.S. Andrews being a part of our program with Cool Under Pressure here in each and every week. And I imagine coming up on Wednesday for Before the Hedges, when Jefferson Tell and I get together at 3 p.m., my guess is we'll probably be talking a little bit about Dominic Blaylock's performance. And also, I know there was some sort of highlights passed around over the weekend of a pretty impressive touchdown catch and run by another Georgia wide receiver commit, Jaden Hazelwood. A lot of high school football stuff here going on this weekend. So don't forget, Before the Hedges each Wednesday here on Dog Nation Daily, or I should say each Wednesday on the Dog Nation video channels. Jeff Sintel and I kind of getting into all that. We'll look forward to kind of talking about how these Georgia prospects, Georgia commits have sort of started off their senior seasons of high school. We'll look forward to doing that with you on Before the Hedges. For now, though, let's turn our attention back to what was kind of obviously sort of a disappointing way to sort of get the ball rolling towards the start of the 2018 season. Samir White does go down with injury. Chip Towers was there, provided coverage all weekend at DogNation.com. Let's bring him on right now. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Great to have you with us as well.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
So let's say hello to Chip Towers, a guy who was right there in the sort of front row seat for all the attention on the heels of the Zamir White injury from Saturday. And Chip, I obviously want to give you the floor to sort of describe what it was like sort of being, you know, around that story and kind of, you know, any new details you can give us. But let me start off with, we played some of the audio of Kirby Smart getting a little, testy, you know, on Saturday. And my point that I made, and obviously we have different backgrounds here. You've been a reporter for a long time. I've simply been the kind of guy that reads a lot of reporting. But when you've got reporters covering a principal, when there's a lot of interest around a story, every now and then elbows are going to get thrown, right? You know, the guy being asked the question is going to get upset. The guys asking the questions are going to want to make sure they're getting their questions answered. Awkwardness is just sort of a byproduct of a free press, whether it's sports or politics or, you know, ribbon cutting for a publicly funded building. This is just the way that life works, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the interesting thing you said there is a free press because, you know, we're anything but the way Georgia has things set up. You know, you can get a lot more access if you give a lot of money to the program, obviously, and then those people aren't, you know, really responsible for what they say and what they report. But, you know, so we were there for 7 minutes of warm up and saw, you know, the team warm up. And then it was very early on after we'd been, escorted out of the stadium that you begin to see on social media that something happened to Zamir White. And, you know, it didn't take but a couple of minutes to figure out that it was something significant. And but as we've agreed quite some time ago with Kirby, you know, we wait to hear from him to find out what the deal was. And that's the way it's set up in, you know, the silly modern world of journalism is we get everything through the coach. And we were just getting information from the coach and, you know, I'm sure Kirby was feeling bad for Zamir and, you know, we all were. I mean, nobody likes when something like that happens. And, you know, it was a fair question to ask, if that was unusual for a running back to be, on punt coverage. I think your average person, their average fan doesn't know whether, running backs are or are not on punt coverage, but particularly one that's still wearing a brace from an ACL injury that he had surgery on just 8 months ago. And, you know, supposedly it was a non-contact injury, but we don't know. We weren't there to see it. So, apparently there was some kind of engagement between Zamir and Mark Webb. But the fact of the matter is your five-star number one running back in the country is out for the year with his second ACL tear in 9 months, and that's unfortunate. But Georgia has, a little bit of talent at running back. Last time I checked, it's defines where the distribution of carries is going to be or better defines where the distribution of carries is going to be. And Georgia will move on from this. So this is injuries are a big part of the game.
So let me follow up on my opinion on kind of what goes on here. I said before you joined us that I want the 11 best players in the field on every single play, punt coverage included. One of those guys is probably going to be Zamir White. I want Georgia to practice the way that it plays. In other words, I want full contact scrimmages. I want intense practice because I think it makes Georgia tougher and better on the field. And then conversely to all that, I want to recruit well enough that Georgia can withstand the injuries. They're going to occasionally come when you choose to be an intense Colts football program. But Kirby Smart was not universally praised by fans. Now, a lot of the attention is going to go to the media, the question they ask Kirby Smart. But if you check out forums, Chip, like ours at forum.dognation.com, some fans had a problem with Smart's decision to have Zamir White on special teams during the scrimmage on Saturday. I don't agree with those fans, but would you care to weigh in with an opinion on this subject?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't think he should have been out there doing it personally because, you know, I do think Zamir White is a fantastic athlete. The fact of the matter is he's, you know, he is still, you know, 8 months off of surgery, you know, so whether it's, you know, contact or non-contact or what you're doing, I just think anytime you're in special team situations, you know, the risk of injury increases markedly. I mean, there's no question about that. And I, you know, I know DeAndre Swift and Sony Michel did it last year, but they didn't have injured knees when they did it. And, you know, it's just one of those things. But the truth is Georgia can absorb this injury. And that is, you know, I don't misunderstand this at all. I'm sure Zeus wanted to do that. And at the end of the day, these guys are trying to get on the bus. That's what all the talk has been about. They only travel 70. They only play 70 for SEC games. If you're not, you know, in the top two on the depth chart, then you may need to make your way in on special teams. And that might ultimately, there may be more that we could read into this, that maybe Zamir White, you know, wasn't necessarily in your top three in your tailback rotation. I wouldn't be surprised by that. It doesn't mean that he would be a bust. It just means that Georgia has very good tailbacks already in the mix with DeAndre Swift. James Cook has looked terrific every time I've seen him. Obviously, Brian Herrien and Elijah Holyfield, not only are great athletes, you know, who can carry the rock themselves, but they've also been around a while, so they have a pretty high level of understanding of the offensive system. So, you know, it's one of those things that's unfortunate. But you know, I just get a little bothered sometimes, you know, with the, you know, don't kill the messenger. I mean, you know, we are here to do a job. A high profile player gets injured, and we're simply trying to give information to people. And you know, Brandon, you and I have talked about it. You know, I think the high security around football practices, sure, and all that kind of stuff is pretty silly, especially when you have a couple thousand other people hanging around and watching.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I don't want to speculate about this too much because, obviously, I have no medical training whatsoever. But, you know, to see the way that Zamir White had seemingly overcome his right ACL injury from high school and now to be dealing with a left ACL injury that's going to keep him out for another year, I mean, how much of a concern do you think Georgia fans ought to have about what Zamir White will look like on the field in 2019? Are we just in that sort of day and age now in which, you know, knee injury recovery seem to be somewhat superhuman? Is there any kind of concern about the fact that it's now sort of both knees that'll be rehabilitated here? Have you heard anything from other people on that, or is it too early to know in any way, shape, form about what it's going to look like for White in 2019 with two, I guess, seemingly, you know, once torn ACLs?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, and I'm actually going to look into that this week and talk to some orthopedic surgeons and just kind of get an idea of what this means. I mean, it appears on the surface that he has a proclivity to, you know, tear ligaments. And look, you know, we've seen this before. This, you know, it's a very common storyline. I mean, I don't know the first what name is going to pop in my head here. Albert Hollis, you know, was one. You remember Albert Hollis?
Sure.
From California? Great tailback. No question he could line up out there, and he was faster than just about everybody on Georgia's team. But he just had problems with the knees and the stress. I mean, you know, Kirby's always talking about the GPS and the numbers. These guys don't just run. They run and run and run and run. And not everybody's body is built to take that kind of thing. And we know, and anybody knows Zeus's story. Jeff Centell was the first that, you know, drew attention to this. And I mentioned it some this week in our Own the East series. Man, this guy is just an unbelievable story that he's even alive. You know, he was not given a chance to live in utero, and then when he's born, he's in his first 100 days are in ICU in a hospital. I mean, I love the story of Zamir White, and I hate this latest chapter. But I mean, there'll be a happy ending, whether it's on the football field or it's with a University of Georgia degree in his hand. But yeah, I think that it's fair to have concern about that because you know, here he is, not even you know, a year into his residency at the University of Georgia, and he's already had two major knee injuries.
Yeah, I mean, he looks tougher than shoe leather, so if anybody's capable of doing it, it would be him. But you're right, it's a lot to deal with here over the course of just one calendar year. So let me talk about the running back depth for a moment, and I promise we won't talk running backs the whole time. There are a couple other questions I want to ask you before done here. But on the subject of running backs, you mentioned Georgia having the depth to withstand this kind of injury, but I'd kind of play with the numbers a little bit myself when I thought White was going to be healthy and contributing. And I sort of had him penciled in for a chip for a 1,000-yard season, and I had DeAndre Swift the same way. I think that Georgia needs two backs to produce 1,000 yards if it wants to match offensively what it did a year ago. Now you assume a guy like Elijah Holyfield may be, and maybe he was going to be that guy all along. Obviously, I don't have any special insight into this, but that number two running back along with DeAndre Swift, that's going to kind of be in that Sony Michel role, so to speak, here this season. Is Elijah Holyfield, you think, the kind of running back who's capable of going north of 1,000 yards here this season and giving Georgia that sort of double punch at the running back position the way that it had in 2017?
Yeah, I absolutely do, Brandon. In fact, there's probably been more buzz about Elijah Holyfield in this camp than anybody else, certainly more than DeAndre Swift, and I'm certainly not reading anything into that per se. I mean, I think with DeAndre Swift, you kind of know what you're doing. I'm sure Georgia is being pretty careful, you know, with how they handle him. I mean, you know, for all the reasons we just saw. I mean, I don't think you're going to see DeAndre Swift on front coverage in preseason camp. Actually, that would have been a good follow-up question. Now that I think about it, this Saturday, we'll ask you this week, is DeAndre Swift still on your punt coverage unit? But, no, I think Elijah Holyfield has a whole lot more to bring to the table than we've been able to see. And, you know, the second most buzz has really been about James Cook. You know, he's been terrific in camp and certainly brings a whole different kind of element to the position than we see in those other guys. So, I mean, I think Georgia's going to be fine. But don't – you know what? You can't take for granted Georgia does have great depth at that position, but everybody recruits a lot of running backs because it's such a physical position. And, you know, you don't want to incur many more injuries at this position. You know, you got to stay healthy back there. And that was one of the things about 2017 that probably goes unsaid. You know, if they stayed healthy last year – and we've already seen a couple of guys go down this year, so you just got to hope that you're as fortunate as you were last year at the tailback position at all of them.
So let me ask you about quarterbacks here for a moment. I found something kind of interesting here so far this summer, and I wonder if you agree with me on this. Kirby seems to always talk about Fromm and Fields together. When it was good news, it was like, hey, they both look good. They both have command and control of the offense. That was last Saturday. This past Saturday, it's once again both guys sort of mentioned within the same breath, this time seemingly sort of equally critical of both of them. Chip, have you noticed that we really haven't heard a lot of individual evaluations yet from Smart, either in terms of here's how Fromm's different from Fields or here's what one's doing well, the other one needs to work on? So far, all the public comments are sort of lumping both these guys together, either for the good or for the bad, seemingly. Is there something to that, you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's just the narrative of Kirby Smart that he wants to put out there. I mean, that's the problem with, you know, not seeing things independently and just having to listen to the coach, you know, espouse whatever he wants to. I mean, if you listen to the players that we've interviewed, I think Jake Fromm has been head and shoulders above Justin Fields that it hadn't even been close. I mean, you know, if you just listen closely to what each of them say, and, you know, Jason Stanley the other day talking about, it's really incredible when you think about, you know, Jake Fromm's room for improvement after, you know, how well he played last year. And he's supposedly been, you know, terrific in camp. And, you know, you hear the same thing from the linemen who come in there and talk about it. I mean, I just think, but, you know, Kirby needs both of those guys to get ready. He needs both of those guys to be ready to play at a high level, just like he needed Jake Fromm to be ready to play at a high level last year when Jacob Eason was the undisputed starter at this point going into the season. I think right now Jake Fromm is the indisputable starter for the Georgia Bulldogs in 2018, but Justin Fields has to be ready on the off chance that something happens to him like it happened to Jacob Eason last year.
Yeah, Chip, I think that's well said for sure. All right, let me do a couple kind of somewhat rapid-fire-ish type questions to deal with a couple other position groups. I think this cornerback opposite DeAndre Baker is incredibly interesting right here. Now, as a fan, Chip, I don't mind telling you, I'm rooting for Tyson Campbell. He's a little bit of a sort of an unknown commodity. If the five-star freshman's good enough to play right now, I think that's good news for UGA. But it seems like Eric Stokes has kind of gotten talked up a bit. I had heard that, you know, Stokes is sort of heavily involved in the scrimmage on Saturday. this cornerback spot, especially given the fact that the star position is sort of up for grabs right now, that's a pretty important battle, correct?
Yeah, it's a real important battle, you know, and I think, you know, this is where I think the Tyreek McGee injury is a little bigger than most people let on. I mean, Tyreek McGee was one of those real putty guys. You know, he could play at the star. He could play at the cornerback. He could, you know, really play in the safety if you wanted to, you know, regardless of who else you got playing there. And then, you know, Eric Stokes just came out of the blue this weekend. We hadn't heard much about him. In fact, in a couple of practices, I noted that he was, you know, taking snaps with the scout team guys, you know, getting ready to go into scrimmages and stuff. But you never know when that light's going to come on for somebody. And, you know, certainly Tyson Campbell is a guy. He was recruited. Let's not kid ourselves. He was recruited specifically for this job. And, yeah, you know, I don't know if Devon Wilson is here, but, you know, I think he would be majorly in the mix. But Eric Stokes brings a very, very unique level of speed to the position that you just see. You're not going to have. I mean, this is a sub 10.3 guy in the 100 meters, unbelievable sprinter. And you know, according to Kirby, this past weekend, just, you know, kind of a light has come on for him, and he's starting to get it, and that's a big deal. There's the competition is fierce back there, and all those players, you know, kind of came highly advertised, highly recommended. So whoever ends up, you know, popping out when the cream that rises to the top of this one is going to be exceptionally good. And, you know, this week at least it's Eric Stokes.
One quick final question for you. I think left guard's fascinating. I mean, now my personal sort of thought here is that, you know, maybe Jamari Salyer at some point in time stops practicing at center. It sounds like he's done some of that as a backup a bit. And maybe he eventually becomes the left guard. Cade Mays, as you know, got some work there at practice last week, reportedly. Obviously, Kendall Baker is sort of thought to be the starter as of right now, but he's sort of cross-trained at a bunch of different positions. I feel like left guard is sort of up for grabs here. I don't necessarily view Baker as the favorite necessarily. What do you think ultimately sort of happens for Georgia at left guard?
Well, you know, that's going to be the most interesting of the offensive line positions, because I do think it's largely been solidified. I mean, I don't think there's any question that against Austin Peay and more than likely against South Carolina, you're going to see Andrew Thomas, Kendall Baker, Lamont Gilliard, Ben Cleveland, and Isaiah Wilson go across the front. What Georgia's trying to do right now is what they always try to do this time of year. You've got to build that depth. And it's not just building the depth. It's like, okay, so look, if Lamont Gilliard goes out, who do we put in, and then who makes my best five? And then they do the same. I mean, they go through it. If you think about it from a mathematical possibility standpoint, there's a lot of them. If Andrew Thomas goes out at left tackle, it's not necessarily that the number two left tackle is your best option there. It may be to move Kendall Baker, as they've been doing in practice, out the left tackle and put, you know, Jamari Salyer in at left guard or what have you. So they've been working on those combinations, trying to build the depth and come to a core. They'll have a quorum, and we believe that these five are best in this situation, and then they'll go through all five positions. And if one of these guys goes back, this is my first guy in. And that's on a chart that, you know, Sam Pittman's going to carry into the game, and there's not going to be any guessing about it. You know, it's going to be one guy or another. But of all of those guys, I agree with you. I would think Kendall Baker's position is probably the most tenuous. But I think it might be a little bit more solid than we're seeing right now, because there's just so many guys capable of playing it right now. And I think Kendall Baker may be the first answer at both of those tackles should one of those guys have to go out.
And that's an important role in this team, Chip. You're absolutely right about that. That's also something worth watching. Chip, great stuff here in Athens this weekend. We appreciate your reporting. It's not always a job that comes with a lot of thank yous, but nonetheless, we are certainly glad to have you on the scene for us there at Dog Nation, and we'll look forward to speaking to you soon.
Hey, I'm glad to do it, brother.
Good stuff there from Chip Towers.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, a couple things from Chip Towers I want to get to, and then I want to tell you about the big event we have coming up on Thursday so you can make plans for that. First of all, on the Zamir White thing, and Chip referenced something that Mike Griffith also wrote about. I think this is really an important thing to bring up. Kirby Smart foreshadowed not specifically about Zamir White when he spoke to media on Wednesday. I'm talking about last week, but something that you do have to keep in mind here. Kirby Smart made a big deal at the end of last week about only being able to take 70 guys on the road to South Carolina. And he talked about the freshmen getting on that bus being the guys that could be sort of in some sort of special teams role. I would not be so quick to assume that Zamir White sort of excluded from that conversation. In order to get on that bus to go to South Carolina, you have to have some sort of ability to sort of contribute on special teams, because SEC road games like that, or just road games in general, are a little bit like the NFL deal, where you got to have that, you know, roster limitations. No roster limitations for home games, pretty significant roster limitations for road games. Special teams is obviously a big contributing factor on that. That's probably another reason why White was doing what he was doing on Saturday. I think that's a really interesting point there from Chip Towers in that regard. Also interesting, he used the word solidify to kind of talk about Kendall Baker. Maybe that is true early in the season, but as Chip also said there, it may be a more tenuous starting spot for that offensive line than the other four guys, guys like Andrew Thomas and Lamont Gilliard and, you know, Ben Cleveland, Isaiah Wilson. There still seems to be a little bit more energy around the competition there at left guard. That's probably something worth watching here for sure. All right, so big event coming up on Thursday. Really want you to be a part of this. It's one of the most fun things we do for the entire year, and we do some really great stuff here around Dog Nation. It's our Dog Nation season kickoff taking place this Thursday at the brand-new Kroger Marketplace right there on Bethelview Road in Kroger, in Cumming, from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to be there. We're going to have some giveaways, a lot of T-shirts to give away there that night, special off-air conversation where we sort of answer. Jeff Sintel going to be on hand answering some of your very special sort of behind-the-scenes recruiting stuff. I'm sure he'll also have some sort of unprintable intel on Zamir White's situation. He'll do all that with you. We're going to be hanging out there. We were there on Friday. What a cool, cool place it's going to be. We're looking forward to being there with you this Thursday, August 23rd, from 6 to 8 p.m., 5550 Bethelview Road in Cumming. Please make plans to be there. We are looking forward to seeing you there for that. All right, SEC through time now. Let's talk about some SEC storylines here. CBS has been doing its sort of chronicling of anonymous coach quotes. I've told y'all before, I'm a big fan of the anonymous coach quote. I like to find out what coaches say when they don't have their name attached to it. And they were talking about overrated and underrated coaches around college football. And somebody took a pretty significant shot here at Nick Saban. Let me show you, if you're watching, if you're listening, I'll read it to you, what one coach said about Nick Saban, accusing the Alabama coach of cheating. Take a look at this here for a moment. He says, if you had the number one recruiting class in the country every year, you'd win like Nick Saban. If you count cheating and getting the best players in the country as part of running a program, he's the best in the country. So somebody, a coach in college football, apparently a head coach, has just flat out accused Nick Saban of cheating in the pages of CBS Sports, not attaching his name to it, but accusation nonetheless. I find this to be crying over spilled milk. And I ain't, listen, nobody loves sort of poking the bear more than I do when it comes to Nick Saban in Alabama. This feels like a lazy coach who doesn't like to work as hard in recruiting as Nick Saban does. This doesn't feel like anyone who's got any real tangible information. So believe it or not, I'm actually going to sort of side with Saban on this. There are a lot of coaches that simply don't want to sort of burn the candle at both ends the way that he does. Therefore, they sort of whine about cheating and sort of unspecified rumors like that. The fact of the matter is there are just a handful of coaches, luckily for Georgia fans, Kirby Smart's one of these, who's just willing to outwork the rest of the competition. And that's why you see those programs, the Clemsons, the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Ohio States, at the top of the college football food chain each and every year. And that's kind of where I land on that. Speaking of Alabama, though, I thought that Matt Zenitz, reporting for AL.com, had some pretty interesting insight on what happened in the Alabama scrimmage when it comes to quarterbacks here this weekend. Apparently, it was a pretty good scrimmage for Jalen Hurts. What Zenitz writes is that Hurts' bounce back did well. He threw at least two touchdowns, one to freshman Jalen Waddle, then one to Henry Ruggs. On the other hand, Tua Tagovailoa, according to Matt Zenitz, starts slow, took a safety at one point, had some near interceptions, and took some bad sacks. I don't think this does much to change the overall tone of the Alabama quarterback competition. Maybe this does give some fuel to some fans who want to say, boy, a lot of praise heaped on Jalen Hurts, or I should say to Tua Tagovailoa, for not having done a whole lot yet. Maybe the scrimmage sort of fuels some of that talk a bit. Speaking of quarterbacks, a rough day for the LSU quarterbacks. And listen, in a day and age where all these scrimmages are so secret, I find it hilarious that Ed Orgeron's like the only coach in America that still publishes stats for his team scrimmages, and the stats always make his program look terrible. One of the reporters had some numbers here on Joe Burrow and Miles Brennan, the two LSU quarterbacks, neither guy looking very good. Let me show you this. This is obviously relevant because Georgia plays LSU. Burrow less than 50% completion. I think we have it for you. Yeah. Here's Andrew Lopez, the reporter, saying that Miles Brennan on the scrimmage day, 5 of 19, 47 yards and a pick. Joe Burrow, the likely starter, just 10 of 24, 120 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. I don't have to tell you that neither one of those marks are particularly impressive. I assume that Burrow is eventually the quarterback. I assume he'll probably be pretty good. But for now, it seems like, at least based on those numbers, getting off to a bit of a slow start there with the LSU quarterback competition. One final story to get to you here. J.J. Peters, you may remember that name. A pretty big-time pass-rushing prospect coming out of Colquitt County for the class of 2018. At one point in time, thought to be a strong Alabama lean. Jeremy Pruitt slides in, gets him for Tennessee. But as of yet, according to some reports, Peterson still has not practiced for the Vols. I guess Jeremy Pruitt explained that he's kind of taking care of some sort of academic-type deal, and he's going to be delayed a little longer getting a part of those Tennessee practices. I don't know if he would play in his first year anyway, but this is certainly something worth watching, and we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, you know, one of the things we've been looking forward to doing as we sort of climb towards the start of the 2018 season is look at some of the pivotal names who could contribute for Georgia this year. We call it our Own the East series. It's brought to you by Georgia's Own Credit Union. One of the big leaders for Georgia on defense in 2018 is likely to be Jonathan Ledbetter. He's also one of the top players on the field as well. Let's learn more about him right now.
Georgia's Own Credit Union presents Own the East, and a look at the names to know as Georgia tries to get back on top of the division once again for 2018. Hello, everybody. I'm Brandon Adams, along with Dog Nation's Chip Towers, and it has been quite a wild ride, a long ride in many ways for Georgia's Jonathan Ledbetter, but it certainly seems poised in on a high note for him in 2018, one of the real reasons why Georgia has a chance to own the East here this season.
Yeah, it really is, and if Georgia fans are looking for somebody to root for, you certainly can look at Jonathan Ledbetter for that. Number 13 on the defensive line for Georgia is a true redemption story. Anybody knows anything about me knows I love redemption stories. Ledbetter made good after having a couple of off-field trip-ups, managed to get all that behind him, and now he is not only a leader on the field where he is sometimes unblockable as a defensive end, but he's quite the leader in the locker room. In fact, you know, he's probably leader in the clubhouse to become defensive captain this year. And I don't know that this is the case, but I think if anybody is a mentor right now for Natress Patrick, it's probably Jonathan Ledbetter, because he's a guy who's been there, done that, and come through it looking golden.
You use the word leader. That may be true for Ledbetter in more ways than one. After all, there are a lot of new names that can make big impacts with this Georgia defense in 2018. I think for a lot of fans, it's kind of nice to have this venerable name that you know you can trust there at the defensive end position.
Well, absolutely. You know, Jonathan Ledbetter goes back. He's a Tucker High School kid. Everybody in the country wanted him. Took him a while to get his feet settled on the field, and now, you know, he's become quite the defensive advantage for Georgia because he plays that five technique defensive end. While everybody's paying attention to those outside linebackers, like last year you had Lorenzo Carter and Davin Bellamy, this year DeAndre Walker and Walter Grant, while they're paying attention to those guys, you better not be single blocking Jonathan Ledbetter or he'll make you pay for it. So I expect a really big year for Jonathan Ledbetter.
Jonathan Ledbetter could make a lot of those opposing offenses paying the division this season as Georgia tries to own the East once again here in 2018.
Own the East is brought to you by Georgia's Own Credit Union and Georgia's Own Visa Signature Card, which gives 1.25 points for each dollar charge and can be redeemed for cash back, gift cards, travel, merchandise, and more. Check out georgiasown.org for more details.
Boy, I love Jonathan Ledbetter's role in this 2018 Georgia team, and you know, we've kind of explained over and over again, you know, why it is we kind of went back to the Own the East branding for our season preview again here for 2018. I think if Kirby Smart were sitting here, first of all, he'd probably yell at me for something, considering he's yelled at every other media member so far here over the last few days. But if he were sitting here, the one thing he would also say is that last year was last year. And for this year, all those goals start fresh all over again. Yes, Georgia would like to play for the national championship again. Yes, Georgia would like to be in the college football playoff. Yes, Georgia would like to win the SEC. But you can't do really any of that. At least you're not likely to be able to do any of that unless you do own the East once again. And the other concept behind the notion of owning the East is that Georgia, by the way that it's sort of extending its talent advantage over teams like Florida and Tennessee and even still South Carolina, you know, when Georgia's doing that, it puts itself in a position not just to own the East here for 2018, but put together a string of division wins that could last for years to come. And that's really the hallmark of a great program. Georgia could be on its way to doing just that. All right, wrap up here with a couple things. First of all, let me do the Gator Hater Countdown. You know, on this program, we hate those lousy, stinking Gators. No, it's a sports hate. It's not a real hate. We don't actually hate people, but we love hating Florida. In 68 days from right now, Gator haters are going to have a blast as the Florida Gators, we think, go down once again. We really think that Dan Mullen's on his way to being a disaster at Florida, and I can't wait to sort of enjoy this on behalf of Gator haters and also on behalf of the people who sort of get a little irritated with how the myth-making, the media seems to make Dan Mullen into some sort of guy with a magic wand. We don't think that magic wand's going to work there in Gainesville. We think 68 days from right now, that gets proven once again. By the way, a couple other pieces of news to give you here on the way out the door. I thought it was kind of interesting that 24/7 Sports reports the other day that Georgia apparently working on being back in Atlanta to play Oregon in a neutral site game. I guess 2022 is the year for that. That's worth watching. Something else to pay attention to. AP poll comes out today. Dog Nation will give you live coverage. We'll see you tomorrow right here on our Dog Nation Daily.